Well, I want to talk about being thankful. I want to talk about the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And God loves to hear thanks, gratitude from us. Because when you have that right heart and spirit, that joy is also there. We're told, aren't we, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. But joy should not always be a drudge. Joy should not be something, oh, I better work at this today. I'm feeling down, I'm feeling depressed. I better come and worship and praise the Lord. Now, sometimes that can be. Sometimes it is a sacrifice of praise and worship when you're going through the most severest of trials. But overall, we should have, through the new birth, through the baptism of the Spirit, there should be that inner joy. It shouldn't be always something that I'm trying to work up. Even when we come as brothers and sisters to worship and praise God, it shouldn't always be a sacrifice of praise. There should be within the new birth and through the baptism of the Spirit, there should be that inner joy and peace. There should be that affection and desire to praise and to want to worship and to thank our Heavenly Father for what He has done and what He's going to do. And that is why I'm calling this today, our thanks and our joy is to be found in Jesus. Our joy and our thanks is to be found in Jesus. Because He's the one who we thank. Because He's the one who came, divested Himself, and took upon human flesh, came in the likeness of man, was obedient unto death. And through His death, we now are united and brought back in fellowship with Almighty God. If that isn't enough to praise and thank God, then I do not know what is. And some of you may say, yes, I've heard all of this before. Then what you need to ask God is for a reality, a revelation of what He has done and will do for you. The reason that so many of us at times can sit and not be touched that much by a sermon is because we are afraid or we don't want to ask God to reveal it to us. God has to reveal Himself. It is by revelation and it comes by asking. God never forces Himself on anyone. Why? Because it is free will. It is free will that we are here today. This meeting, our gathering together, saints coming into the room, is because we want to. Not because we have to, or it is our duty, which so many religious people do. They feel it is their duty to go to church today on Sunday. It is my duty to pray and seek God. It is my duty to open the Bible and read my 2 chapters a day. My goodness me, do you want a relationship with other people because it is your duty? Do you want to get married to your partner because it is your duty? And yet, you know, we laugh at this, and yet so many are bound by that very spirit, and I call it a spirit, because that's from the pit. You can't build relationships, commitment, on duty. We have a duty, of course. Parents have a duty towards their children, but it's always motivated by love. I have a duty to ministry. I have a duty to God, but it's because I've chosen to have that duty. I have chosen to take that responsibility upon me because I want to. Discipleship, following Christ, is because I want to. Because He first loved me. He first loved us. And He didn't have to do it. He chose to do it. God isn't obliged to save anyone. He's complete, entire in Himself. He doesn't need any props. He doesn't need, you know, there's still at times, you know, well, God saved me because I'm going to be company for Him. You know, He hated to see what sin had done, and so He's brought us back, He's brought me back, and you know, it's really done Him a service. Not at all. Not at all. God doesn't need anyone. He is a complete, whole, entire being in Himself. Always has been, always will. He's uncreated, eternal spirit. There is never a time when God was not. He always has been. Now, of course, these are words and elements that we find hard to get our brain around. Because God has created time for us, not for Him, but for us. And so we live in the realm of time. The old clock's ticking away. Everything has a time value to it, but not with God. God is complete in the Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They all are united, they are all one, they all love. They are complete, entire, lacking nothing. They are love. And yet God chose to commit Himself to fallen man in the state that he is. He chose to do it. And because He chose to do it, therefore that is why we have a free will. Because it's on that basis, the way He chose to love us first, now we have that decision to do the same back to Him. And even that, God works in us, doesn't He? To influence us, to woo us, to get our attention, to start to get the Word into us. Because that is our depravity, that is how far we have fallen, that is what the world, sin, has done. And so if we love the Lord, and we come weekly and listen to His Word and take His Word in, then His working on us, His influencing on us, is going to help us to always make those right decisions that glorify Him. That keep our heart committed as disciples to Him. This is why our assembling together is so important. You can't do it on your own. Because God has set the gifts within the church to keep us going. That's basically it, in a nutshell. Because we won't do it otherwise. It's not in our nature. We'll always be distracted, or our affections will be taken off on something else. You know as well as I do that it's 24/7 for the Holy Spirit to keep working with us to keep our affections upon God. Because there's just so much in this world that tries to trick us or beguile us or whatever. And so, you know, bearing that in mind, should there not be that joy, that thanks set within us? You know, He's not saved us for a walk to be a drudge with Him. You know, I can't understand Christians who walk, or they say they're Christian, they walk with God, but face us as long as cricket bats. And there's no joy there. Now, it's not to say that you can go through a trial, yes, but generally, you know, and then in time, they're just sort of known, oh, yes, well, I know that sister, but oh, what a misery she is. Oh, dear. You know? And, I mean, who wants to be around people that are a misery? That are down, depressed, negative? That you dare ask them how they are? I mean, You don't want to be around people who are like that for long. I know some out in the world. I know some people. You did ask them how they are. Because you'll never get away. You see? Because what immediately then takes over, once you ask them how they are, is self, that rejection. And rejection will hang on to you like a magnet if you're showing any interest, because they're imbalanced, you see. Well, let's turn to Matthew 11, verse 25 to 30. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25 onwards. And hear what Jesus has done for us. Matthew 11 verse 25 through to 30. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seems good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now that doesn't indicate in any way to me someone who should be walking with God miserable and fed up and dejected. Now I know we go through our trials, and sometimes our trials for a season would seem as though they consume us. What I am talking about is our overall walk, our salvation with God. Because Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. And I can't imagine any Christian who loves Jesus or says they do and is miserable and down and dejected and depressed. How can you bear fruit like that? You cannot. Anything but. And of course God has helped us with this by baptizing us in the Holy Spirit and giving us the gift of speaking in tongues, or the sign, I should say, of speaking in tongues. And so those tongues which we use very often at times can be a means of building yourself up in your most holy faith. Jude 20. What is that for? So that you are being built up, you are being kept in God's presence, and as a result of that, that brings a joy, a lightness of heart and spirit. That is the purpose of it. For what reason also? Because the world must see that you are Christian. You walk with Christ. So that is a great leveler, if you like, a great help that tells the world that you walk with someone else, that you are seeking the kingdom, and that they see you eventually overcoming in trials that would take the rest of the world down into depression. I believe the bride of Christ that's making herself ready should certainly not be depressed. And yet depression is a great problem now in society. I'm probably being conservative, and I'm going back a few years when they said this, and it's probably higher now, but they said 1 in 10 suffers with some form of depression or mental oppression. And I think it probably is even higher than that now. And a lot of doctors are having to prescribe these antidepressants. You know really what an antidepressant is? It's just simply a stimulant. It's a drug that drowses you. And this is why people who are on this are always drowsy. They're always sort of, it keeps you down. And who wants to live in a sort of state like that? But that's drugs, and these drugs do have their side effects, and very often they can only be stay on them for a certain time, and then they have to be prescribed with a different form of drug. And I'm not saying that depression is not real. Oh, it is real. And I'm not saying that I have never myself been touched with depression. I had once, I think God allowed it, to have just a bout of depression. It's the most awful thing. It's an absolute feeling of despair. Utter despair. Utter hopelessness. There doesn't seem to be any way of escape. It's like you are already in hell. That is the nearest description I can give of forms of depression. And sadly, it's to be found in so many young people, and children are beginning to suffer with it. Now, that is telling us, as society, something is radically wrong. And what it is telling us, as a society, we're becoming more and more pagan. Ungodly. It is telling us more and more as a society that we are refusing to allow God in that area in our lives, in our hearts, that is for Him and Him. We are somehow, through our conscience, our consciences that are being seared, the mind is becoming more reprobate. So it is, it's hard. It's like it's cementing over that area that is for God, where He resides in man's heart and spirit, which is for Him. And so you bear the consequences of that. Whether individually or as a nation or as a society, you bear the consequences when you begin to throw God out of everything. And what takes over is what we're seeing today, humanism. Humanism is New Age. Humanism is now the religion. I believe humanism is fundamentally behind the ecumenical move. Let us come together because, you know, we can all get to God in whatever way. We all recognize God. We all love God. But that is a humanistic understanding of unity, oneness. It is not what the Word of God tells us when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light, and no man cometh unto the Father except by me or through me. And those words which I have just said, those, that scripture I have just quoted to you, may soon cost us to be able to say that. How dare you? How dare you say in your arrogance that Jesus is the only way? They will see us as arrogant, as divisive, and so on. Because we have not embraced humanism. Humanism, fundamentally, is where man has become his own God. In other words, if you are a humanist, then on the basis of humanism, you say, I am a God. And my name is whatever name you give. That would not be theologically, from humanism, be wrong. So we see what's happening in society. And who's behind all of this? The devil, the powers of darkness. Humanism is going to usher in Antichrist. He's using it. He's using it. Well, this is why we have a different joy and thanks to the world. You see? We don't mingle our thanks and joy with the world. Our joy comes from a different dimension. It is kingdom-minded, heavenly-minded. It is an appreciation of what God has done and is doing in our lives. Hallelujah. And so we should enjoy His Spirit, His presence in our lives, should we not? And also in the meetings. It should be a joy and a pleasure. That's why we come in true unity and oneness in fellowship. And you can't help but express that and thank God for this. You see, His blessings are to give us joy. Because God is so generous in nature, in heart. That is Him. He doesn't try to be generous. He is generous. And there are so many things He wants to bless us with. But like blessings are, sometimes we have to wait on those blessings. They don't always come immediately. Yes, we have it by faith. But the manifestation of these blessings come at the right time. Let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Let's look at in Ecclesiastes 5, let's look at verse 18-20. Here is what I've seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of his labor, in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life which God gives him, for it is his heritage. So who gives it to us? God. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, has given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly on the day of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. And so the joy of the Lord stops you from procrastinating, which will get you down and depressed. The joy of the Lord keeps you busy. Doing what? Seeking the kingdom. Putting the kingdom first. I've always said, if you put the kingdom first, it'll keep you busy 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Busy. Now, what is our understanding of this busyness? It's being busy seeking God. It means that my whole being, my whole affections, everything I do, everything that is around me, the household, the family, everything is all leading towards seeking the kingdom of God. Now, if that doesn't keep you busy, I don't know what that will. That's what we read here. And who gives this? It's a gift of God. So my blessings are a gift of God. The good health that He gives me to enable me to minister and to be faithful is a gift of God. Everything is a gift of God. That's why we should never stop thanking Him. And even throughout eternity. What does 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 tell us? 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So there is a warning. If wealth is coming, blessings are coming, provisions are coming, don't become proud by it. Haughty, in other words, don't let it work pride. Look at me. I must be walking so close with God. Look at the riches and blessings I have. What an example I am to everyone else. Now, of course, we don't go around saying that, but that is how subtly Satan presents it to our thinking. No, on the contrary. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The more you are blessed, the more you give out. That others too may be helped. That is the key to blessings, because that is the heart of our Heavenly Father. Remember, he first gave it to you. Didn't have to. And so, that is why God loves Christians who are generous. You can never, ever outgive God. It is the principle of the widow and her mite. That is really a principle of what God reveals about giving. And very often, giving is when we have virtually nothing to give. Because God works it in a way, and I can't work it out, but I have learnt you can never outgive God. Never. And if that's our heart's desire and our attitude, God will work it. You work stage by stage. And never look to other Christians and you think to yourself, well, look at how they give. Look at what they're doing. I mean, I'm just pathetic. Never do that. You chuck your eyes away and you look to yourself and you look to God and you just make your heart's desire is to give, Lord. And I just believe that I can never outgive you. And that's what I want, because this is what glorifies your name. This is what brings real joy, real blessing. There's nothing like giving when you see that there's a need. You know, you can sometimes just feel the Father's heart at that point. Just those little touches there. You know, as though, I'm blessed what you have just done there. I'm blessed because recognizing me, my heart. You know, when you're touched like that, you know, it just inspires you and encourages you to go on. And you come to a place when you are giving where you no longer are concerned about yourself, about your own needs, about what you're going through. It's irrelevant. Because you know you can never outgive God. Now, if that doesn't bring true joy into one's life, then I don't know what does. And God's still working, isn't he, with all of us, even in that area. And what holds it back is fear. Fear of what if. Because the world tells us that we're all to save for a rainy day. Although I'm not sure now this last generation thinks like that. But my generation were brought up in that way of thinking. So, you know, you let God do it through you, and that is the point. You see, God shares in our labours. He shares in the blessings. He even is with us in the toil and sweat. Sometimes our labours, you know, can push you. Sometimes it takes a long time to get something working or blessing to come through, or sometimes you're building a business if God's blessing you in that way. You don't just get blessed in a business just straight off. There's labour attached to it. Sometimes it is toil and sweat. Sometimes it's taking one step forward only to take two back. But eventually, God reveals his faithfulness. He reveals that he was in that. And even in the times when it looked a failure. And it does sometimes. Same with our we labour with this church, do we not? This is his building, which he is building. And there are times we go through trials. There are times when it seems as though it's going to continue to stand. But then when you look at the overall, what God is doing, he gives us the ability. This church is a gift from God. Everyone, other churches that are pressing on into the deeper life, is a gift from God. And we can boast in none of it. Hallelujah. Let's turn back to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And verse 24, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24, nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. There's nothing wrong with you to take pleasure in the labors of your hand, providing that you always reveal that this was given by God. This is a gift from God. And this is what God can do for you also. You know, some Christians have still got it that blessings are just for some, but it's not for me. That is not the deeper life. That is not the prosperity side of the deeper life. It may take time, but God will bless you. And you will be your own person before God. I have always said in my heart, through this ministry, that God's people will be their own man or woman before God, and not have to walk in the shadow of anyone else. That is not sonship. But sometimes that takes a time, because we all come out from different circumstances. Sometimes, you know, we are insecure. And we are to be an example. And there are to be those examples in the church. But those examples are not to be emulated, copied. There's a difference, you see. The only one we copy, we emulate in that sense, is Jesus. Otherwise it's idolatry. However, having said that, when you follow Jesus and you follow his pattern, you are your own person before God. And rightly so. Because that is authority. That is anointing. Which the sons of God had. We're all a royal priesthood before Almighty God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 13, and it says here, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his neighbor. It is a gift of God. So, you know, when you invite people round, or you invite somebody for supper, or whatever it is, what is laid before is a gift of God. But you have labored for that. It's not just dropped out of heaven. God's given us hands. He's given us abilities. And it is right for the Christian that they work and earn their own living and pay their taxes, as the Bible shows us. But the blessings that come with that is a gift of God. That is the point. That is why we should be thankful and grateful for everything. Are you thankful and grateful that we still live in comparative peace as Christians in this country, when a lot of our brothers and sisters don't? Are we thankful, grateful that God, we have a job, employment? We should thank him for that. We should thank him for so many things. Thank him that we're in this assembly. Thank him that he's opened my ears and eyes and heart to the people I'm teaching. Thank him that he's given me good health. This is what keeps us right before God. It keeps our attitudes right. Sometimes we get such wrong attitudes. And we know what attaches behind attitudes. It's demonic. So, we have to guard this, brothers and sisters. You see, we have to keep with the positive. We have to keep with the promises of God to experience all of this. This joy and this thanks. This is why we stay with the promises of God. I know at this present season, one of the things that the overcomers, And I don't just believe it's just this church from what I hear. But you know, where we're really being tested at this present time with our attitude, our thinking, our heart, and yes, Lord, I am listening to this, is within the area of divine healing. Because outwardly, naturally, it doesn't look as though it works. But all I know to do is to continue to praise and thank God that He is faithful and that He is true to the whole of His Word. Not call me to try and analyse or work out, well, why is this happening, or what if this, or, you know, whatever it is. A simple childlike faith doesn't do that. And I'm learning this. This has been a big overcoming and deliverance for me. And what I'm sharing with you now has come out of a lot of pain and hurt for me. These words that I share with you now has cost. Because outwardly, where the deeper life is concerned, the overcoming message, it doesn't look as though a lot is in our favour where divine healing is at present. But God always has a purpose, a plan, a reason. And He will show all things at that right time and in that right way. All He wants of us is to be faithful with what we have received over the years. As I have always said, God, who is love, who loves us, if we got anything wrong for near over 30 years now in this, He would have by now have shown us. So we remain faithful, we stand with what we know, because God loves us. And whatever needs correcting, balancing, because He loves us, He will do it. And is doing it. And I rest in that. I will not let my mind, I'm not going to let the enemy try to get in and say, well, what if this, and why isn't this happening, and why haven't you got the gifts of this yet functioning, and so on. I refuse to let my mind go over to this. But it has taken a time. It's taken a time because as a minister, you have to search. You have to search your heart. You have to seek God about all of these things. And when you're not getting an answer, and you keep knocking and you don't get an answer, and after 10 years, suddenly, you know, you're starting to wake up, and, well, God's got a reason. God will not always show straight away. He is sovereign. He is God. But I know one thing. He doesn't lie. And I can hold on to that. He doesn't lie. And so what do? We continue to praise, worship God. We continue to come together, assemble, and thank Him, and let Him do what He wants to do. God is teaching us, if anything, He is completely sovereign. Completely sovereign. And so you see, our salvation, our walk, our embracing these promises of God is not to be a drudge or a labour. Because the world is passing away. Everything is passing away. We're not of this world. So, you know, when we start to look at that and we start to think about, well, everything is passing away, it starts to put everything in perspective. And even the blessings. Yes, they're a blessing. And thank God for them. And He's given me the labour, the strength to be able to have these blessings. But I can't take them into glory with me. What these blessings can do, improve you, work on you, make you a better person for glory. Yes, even blessings. But that's all they're for. Blessings are not to rob you of your salvation. You're not making it into the kingdom of God, because that is not the message of prosperity. No, no, no. And yet some have propagated this over the years. So there we are, brothers and sisters. It should be a joy, a blessing, being in the presence of Almighty God. And give Him thanks. Give Him praise. You may not feel like it. You may have had a rotten day, but just raise those hands. Lord, I just want to thank You. It's been bad today. It couldn't have got any worse. But I thank you because you are on the throne and you are not going to let me fall. You are going to provide. I'm just keeping my eyes on you. And that is such a deliverance from this anxiety, this what if, and what are we going to do, and look what a mess we're in. And oh dear, 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 dear. It's such a deliverance. You know, so often the children of Israel got deliverance when they started to praise and worship God. You know what God was saying to Moses? Right? With all over a million of them, and Pharaoh on their tail, being delivered out of Egypt, and there they face the Red Sea. What was God actually doing with Moses? He was saying, worship me. What was the worship? It was what was in his hands. He had to take his eyes off the circumstances and come back to the blessings of God, what God had blessed him with thus far. That is why to thank God for your blessings, it keeps you focused where your blessings have come from and why you're being blessed. Authority was that God had placed in his hand. Did you know? At times his attitude towards it was wrong or unbelief. You see? And we do exactly the same spiritually. Hallelujah. Praise God, we're getting it. We'll get there by his love and grace and mercy, because God loves us. He's invested his son. He's invested his blood. He's invested his heart over us. And he's not about to give us up. Whatever you're feeling, whatever you're going through, there's no way he's going to do that, because he will perfect that which he had started. Nothing will pluck us out of the hand of Almighty God. That is why our walk, our salvation, our faith, our preaching, our sharing, our witness, everything is motivated by the love of God.
Jesus is his name. Jesus.